Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as the fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes, the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They long for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good, and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me. Does Satan plead loudly against our souls, accusing of sin and claiming us as his prey?
Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you this Sabbath evening for, or morning, because we know from evening to evening is a new day. Thank you for joining us. Just want to welcome each and every one. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being our substitute. We thank you, Lord, for taking upon you our sins. You said you loved us with an everlasting love, Father. And we love you because you first love us, so Lord. You laid down your life for us. We thank you ever so much, Lord. We ask you to help us to understand that. Help us to know that without you, we cannot make it to heaven. Help us to trust in you with all our hearts, our soul, our mind, and not to lead on our own understanding, but to acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing that you will direct our path, that we will take that straight and narrow path, O Lord. We are your peculiar people, your precious people, Lord. Help us to remember that. Help us to look unto you, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you ever so much for each and every one that's on the prayer line and those that will be joining us, O Lord. Hasten their footsteps so that they can come on, Father, and testify of your goodness. Tell others what you have done for them, Lord. You said iron sharpeneth iron, Lord. Help us to meditate on your word. Help us to talk of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us and our brothers and sisters, O Lord. Help us to be truly right example, sharing, interceding in prayers for others, O Lord. Help us not to look on our own things, but to look on the things of others, how we can help, how we can encourage, how we can bless others with whatever means we have, O Lord. We thank you again for each family represented, Lord. We thank you also for the speaker. May you fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord. May you use him mightily tonight to bring the word, O Lord, talking of your goodness, your mercy, and what you are doing right now in the most heaven, in the most holy place, interceding on our behalf, Lord. You're soon to come, Father. Help us to be prepared and ready to meet you in the sky. Father, again, we thank you. We glorify, we magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us, and happy Sabbath. And I just want to share a verse before I go and open the line. Please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, or scripture reading so that I can open your line. Isaiah 50, chapter 51, starting at verse 1, reads, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewed, and to the hole of the pit, whence you look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bear you. For I call him alone, and bless him, and increase him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Amen. Verse 4, "Hearken unto me, my people, and give ears unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people, the isle shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heaven, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heaven shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." Amen. Praise the Lord. We know he's the true and living God, for his salvation shall be forever, and his righteousness shall be forever too. It shall not wax, it shall not get old. Let us trust in the Lord. Amen. I'll go ahead and open the line for the first caller that pressed 1. Again, please press 1 if you would like to share at this time. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. I just want to welcome each and every one of you on the prayer line. God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praised. So just share your testimony, your prayer request, your prayer report, your meditation on your study for this week, or just a comforting word to someone that's, you know, that's listening. They might not hear it tonight, but we're also reaching those that's on the internet, and this broadcast is going throughout the United States. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line for 518-489. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Okay, happy Sabbath, Sister Carla. Thank you for opening my line. This is Sister Powell calling from New York. I just wish everyone a happy Sabbath, and thank God that, you know, he allowed us throughout the week, and we all safe that we can join. And I thank God for the reading a while ago, Sister Carla, because in my, we do know that is only Christ's righteousness within us are going to carry, and that is the 1888 message there, and we do heard and read that if that message was accepted, you know, we know that, think that Jesus would be here already, but I just going to sing a little song and just read a little scripture, and just to encourage all of us here, let us really trust God and be obedient to His will and to follow His word, and it would help us that we will be covered with His righteousness within us, so that we can, you know, deliver this message that He have given unto us. Just listen to the word, this song. Alas, then did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for someone such as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart roll away, it was there by faith I have received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done He suffered on the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart roll away, it was there by faith I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the depth of love I hold. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rose away, it was there by faith I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that cross. And I will just read Psalms 40. It's not a very long psalm, and just a little about it. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respected not proud, nor such as turn aside lies. I will do 7 now. It said, when said I, lo, I come in the volume of this book, it is written of. I delighted to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O God, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. 11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. I will stop at 11, and then I will just read a little reading here of Sister White, what she said. Mystery hidden from eternity. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a voice of mysterious import was heard in heaven from the throne of God. Lo, I come. Sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body as thou prepared me. Lo, I come in the volume of this book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10:5-7. In these words is announced the fulfillment of the purpose that has been hidden, that has been hidden from eternal ages. Christ was about to visit our world and to become incarnate. He said, a body as thou prepared me, as he appeared with the glory that is with the Father before the world was. He could not have endured the light of his presence that he might behold it and not be destroyed. The manifestation of his glory was shrouded. His dignity was veiled with humanity, the invisible glory in the visible human being. Brothers and sisters, we know that our soul should hunger forever as a gift. And it also said here, we are to come to God in faith, brothers and sisters, and pour out our supplication before him, believing that he will work in our behalf and in the behalf of those we are seeking to save. We are to devote more time in earnest prayer with the trusting faith of the little child. We are to come to our Heavenly Father, telling him all our needs. He is always ready, my dear brothers and sisters, to pardon and to help us and to supply us of divine wisdom. And the Lord encouraged us to draw larger from it. The longing that we should have for spiritual blessing is described in his word. As the heart planted after the water brook, so planted my soul after thee, O God. We need a deeper hunger, soul hunger, for the rich gift that heaven has to bestow. We are to hunger, brother and sister, and thirst after Christ's righteousness. Lord, I will just have a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for these promises and comforting words that you have given unto your children, dear Lord. And tonight, dear Lord, I present all your brothers and sisters in Advent Light, those who are on the line now, those who are on the internet, Lord, and even those who are preparing to join us, dear Father, to allow them to know that you love them with a compassionate love, and you promise them, Lord, all the riches, dear God, and to cover them with your robe of righteousness within, dear, that the righteousness may be hidden in our hearts, heart, so that we will be changed. We will be different, Lord, when we have your righteousness cover us, dear Father, and we will represent you in everywhere we go, and others will see you, dear Lord, just as how you live your life while you was on earth. So, Lord, we thank you for these promises. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Help us to trust you. Help us, Lord, that despite of what is happening around us, dear God, we have seen everything is happening. Your words told us about these things, war, you know, disaster everywhere, Father, pestilence, Lord, the diseases, dear dear God, and all the things that is coming down upon this earth, you told us. And we know who that's liar, Satan, is behind it, Lord. And help us, Lord, to study your words and not be afraid, but we will keep trusting you and believe that you are able to take us and to carry us through these storms that is going around. But help us, dear Father, that we will be faithful to you. Lord, bless. Thank you for Sister Carla. She moderate, Lord Jesus, on this line. And Lord, that as we share our testimony and our praises to you and give you thanks, Lord, we just ask you to pour your blessings upon us, Lord, and help us to be faithful. I present every brother and sister who join and every family. You know them, dear God. Continue to bless us tonight. Bless also bless the speaker, that the word will come straight from you and her heart will be touched and blessed with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' loving name with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. Help us to hold on and to be faithful. God bless.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell. As you were singing that beautiful song, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. Brothers and sisters, was it there at the cross that you received your sight? Amen. Was it there? And I was also reminded of the song, Lead Me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Amen. So it's at the cross, at Calvary. And we know burdens are lifted at Calvary. We ought to take everything to Jesus in our prayer and our thanksgiving. Even in trials, we also thank him, because those trials are to help us draw closer to him. Amen. So again, please press 1 if you would like to share your testimony, prayer request, or if you'd like to offer a word of prayer, devotion, thought, or whatever the Lord put on your mind. Please press 1 so you can share at this time. Amen. Happy Sabbath again, brothers and sisters. I'll go ahead and open the line for 985-381. Happy Sabbath. Your line is open. Check, see if
good
your phone is on mute.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. Happy Sabbath. I would like to thank y'all for opening my line. Thank God for us meeting once more. I was just happy when I got on the line and Sister Powers just started was singing at the cross. That was beautiful for him. I was singing that song when I was a little girl going to Sunday school and singing that song, praising God, or trying, didn't know what I was doing, but that was the song of my heart. And I used to love to hear that song, just run there to hear the song because I didn't know what was going on. But I loved it to hear that song, and it just lifted me up in those beautiful words. I just want to thank God, and a beautiful message last night I caught. I just enjoyed it all last night. It was wonderful. Brother, I think it was Ikeem. And it was wonderful. I enjoyed hearing it. And I just want to thank God. And I don't have a prayer tonight, so I just want to ask for prayers for my family. Well, we have one family member deceased. And we have one family member had a heart attack, and I got my daughter-in-law. She's been admitted in the hospital. That's where I'm on my way now. She's having surgery. So just want to keep my close family members in prayer as we
difficult to look something, but we know God got it, so I'm gonna let him work it out. And I just wanna thank everybody on the prayer line for doing a wonderful job at studying and learning and just getting together with God's words and lifting each other up and keeping us faithful. And I don't know about nobody else, but I know it helps me when things come my way. It's keeping me focused. And I can deal with a lot of things compared to the way I used to deal with things. It keeps my anxiety intact, and I'm able to talk to them, teach them what I'm learning, and, you know, and they're very excited. Tell them things, keep them, you know, uplifted, and they're so happy. They're very happy to hear changing me and asking me where I'm learning it at. I'm telling them, unless I have a church, we have it at home. It's through prayer line. You know, everybody want a number, but everybody don't want to call. But, you know, it's up to them. They'll do it when they have to or when they really need to. But, you know, it's just up to them. But anyway, I just thank God for me learning and doing what I had to do. And God bless everybody, and happy Sabbath. And I'll talk to y'all later. Brother John is not with me. I'm all gone along. Happy Sabbath. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Amen. Praise the Lord that you're being blessed and you've been fed on this line. Correction, yesterday it was Brother Eugene that brought the message, powerful message indeed, and the Lord is using him mightily, and we will continue to hear him as he has, you know, time to come on and share with us. You will hear him more often on the prayer line, and we thank the Lord for him and all the brethren that's coming on and bringing the message and all that's joining, you know, each and every night. And, yes, we, after a while, we all starting to sound alike, but praise the Lord, we're all children of the Heavenly Father, and God is so good, and I'm just happy that you are being blessed and fed and you're sharing with others and you're able to understand and grow in the love of God. Amen. So we'll go to the next caller. And correction, brothers and sisters, Brother Wilson will be your speaker. Brother Wilson will be your speaker. I know I posted Elder Richardson, but Brother Wilson will be your speaker tonight. So please don't leave. We'll be blessed. God is not a... He can use anyone to bring the message, you know, so we will be blessed. The Holy Spirit is leading. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the next the line for the next caller, 506-838. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Good night. Good night, Sister Caller. Thanks for opening up my line.
Amen.
And I know God is ready to be praised. I want to say hi to everyone on the Advent prayer line. Ministry tonight. Hope everybody is enjoying the Sabbath day of rest, and we all are being blessed on this prayer line as we are sharing our testimonies and our sounds and everything like that. So I want to share a song, and I pray that our heart will be blessed by the grace of God. We know there's coming a time that there will be peace again on this earth, and this song is saying there's going to be peace in the valley by the grace of God. Amen.
Oh, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along to the Lord. comes and calls, calls me away. Oh, yeah. Well, the morning so bright, and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as black as the sea. Oh, yeah. Beep, beep, in the valley. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray.
There'll be no
sadness,
no sorrow,
no sorrow,
no sorrow.
But I see there will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down, down by the lamb someday. And the beast from the wild shall be led by little child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. My God, there will be peace in the valley for you and me.
There'll be no sadness,
no sadness,
no
sorrow,
oh,
no more trouble, so I see there will be peace in the valley for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's keep faith. Let's keep looking up. Amen. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Richardson. Praise the Lord that you're using the gift that he has given you. Have so many talents and gifts, and each and every one of us have talents and gifts, and we just have to use them for the glory of God. Amen. He has given us those talents and gifts to use for his glory, not for ours or for the world. Amen. And he will bless us with more. He will increase our talents and gifts. So let's praise the Lord for each and every one that's on. And I just want to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, and it reads, "And if ye call on the Father without respect of person, judge it according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." So let us pass the time here, you know, not in doing things of the world, but having our mind on heavenly things, meditating on the word of God, sharing the word of God with others, because we know everything that we can see and touch will burn. So let us pass our time here with fear unto the Lord, and which is a godly fear, not a, you know, a fear that he's going to hurt us or punish us, but a fear of respect and love for God. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share at this time any testimony or prayer requests? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. God is good, brothers and sisters, and he is truly worthy to be praised. Amen. And I'd just like to share also Psalms chapter 138, starting at verse 6. It says, though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly, but the proud, he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine hand. And we know he which shall begin a good work in me and in you, brothers and sisters, will perform it until the day of the Lord. So let us be encouraged. Let us be blessed. Amen. And I'll go ahead and open the line for the next caller that press 1. Again, please press 1 if you would like to share, because I want to give everyone a chance to share. I don't want, someone to press 1 too late and we're out of time for sharing. So please press 1 so you will have enough time to share. 225-337, happy Sabbath. Your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. Sister Leola calling from Baton Rouge. I would like to share a testimony. I would like to share my scripture before I share the testimony. And it's Isaiah 58. And I just love giving God the praise because he has saved me and he had kept the Sabbath on my heart for years before I even knew anything about the Sabbath. And it began when I was very young as a child. And we would go to our church, and it was for vacation Bible school. But let me share the scripture first. And I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 58, and I'm going to start at verse 12, and I'm just going to 12 and 13. He said, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste place. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, the restore of the path to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy and of the Lord and honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. I'm going to stop right there because my testimony. And my testimony goes back from when I was about 13, maybe 12 years old, and when we had vacation Bible study. My sister Brenda and Mary, all of them used to follow me to church. And what we was learning, it was always taught to us about the Ten Commandments and Our Father prayer. So the Ten Commandments, that fourth commandment, the Sabbath, stayed on my heart for years up until I was about 36 or 38, 39, something like that. And I got a tract in my mail, and it was saying, come out to a revival and learn about the mark of the beast. So when I went out to that revival that night, he presented the Sabbath. And then he presented something that had me excited, the mark of the beast. And I just raised my hand with excitement because I had never heard of it. But yet, I saw it when I was in a lady that visited me at the job I was working. She said, you want to know who has the 666? She said, watch the television, this Catholic channel, and you're going to see the Pope wearing the 666 in his forehead, just like we wear the graduation little taffeta that's in the forehead. And sure enough, I saw the 666, that golden emblem in his forehead. And I said, wow. So I told the, raised my hand, not knowing anything. I didn't know nothing about Seventh-day Adventist. I said, I know who has the 666. I said, the Pope. And he said, hey, where did you learn that? And so from that day, I started studying about the Sabbath. And when I studied on the Sabbath, what Isaiah had said, I started looking up every little word in that verse, in the verses of 58. And when I learned that this was going to be a repair of the breach, and then one day I heard George Bush said he was repairing the breach. I said, I said, now, God talks about repair the breach. is most of the time in the White House, you hear many of the words from the Bible. And when I heard him say that, I'm like, what in the world can he repair? But my most important thing is the Sabbath. And I said, now, I'm watching how God worked this out. Now, up until this day, brothers and sisters, I see how God and what he mean about repairing the breach. So I want to read a prophecy, just this right here. Won't be long, Sister Carla. And I'm going to read, it said, this angel, it's a lot in here, so I'm just going to read just this part. It says, this angel is flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine in a wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And here is the patience of the saints. Here is they that keep the commandments of God in the face of Jesus. So I want to go down to the next paragraph. And it says, as the end approaches, the testimonies of God's servants will become more and more decided and more powerful. Flashing lights of that have so long held the supremacy. The Lord has sent us a message for who believe the present truth must stand, not in their own wisdom, but in God, and raise up the foundation of many generations. There will be registered in the books of heaven as a repair of the breach, the restore of the path to dwell in. We are bitterest opposition. God is at work upon human minds. It is not man alone that is working. The great illumination power is from Christ. The brightness of his example is to be kept before the people in every discourse. And I read that in my letter, 1F1890. And it has more. And as I read all these sisters and brothers, the Lord impressed me more. And he have given me the a servant to be a person to go out and share literature, to witness to people. So, you know, when God had bid me to do that, sisters and brothers, I have no problem. I go in faith and knowing that the Lord is with me. So I just want to thank God for his Sabbath and for him bringing me into this truth, because now I see how God is repairing the breach. He is bringing his Sabbath back to this world that was once was lost, and now he is bringing it back through his servant. You, the prayer line, and I, all of us that's willing to go out and tell the world about it. Thank you, Sister Carla. And I have a prayer request. I'm asking for a prayer request to pray for my father. I always forget.
I want to lift my father up on the prayer line. He really needs prayers. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leo. Thank you for sharing and thank you for coming on. Praise the Lord. See how the Lord, you know, as you look back, see how the Lord worked in your life and how things are changing and you're drawing closer to him and you're learning about prophecy and things are fulfilling. Amen. God is good, and the Holy Spirit is bringing these thing what we have learned, you know, back to our remembrance. So, God is truly good, brothers and sisters. As it's almost 8 o'clock, and I'm checking to see if anyone else would like to share. Amen. Press one if you would like to share, and praise the Lord. As I will share from Education chapter 29 regarding the Sabbath. It says, since the Sabbath is the memorial of creative power, it is a day above all others when we should acquaint ourselves with God through his works in the mind of the children. The very thought
of the Sabbath should be bound up with the beauty of the natural things. Happy is the family who can go to the place of worship on the Sabbath, as Jesus and his disciple went to the synagogue, across the field, along the shores of the lake, or through the grove. Happy the father and mother who can teach their children God's written word with illustration from the open pages of the book of nature, who can gather under the green tree in the fresh, pure air to study the word and to sing the praise of the Father above. Amen. So it's good to go in nature and just look upon the beautiful things of nature and just have church outdoors, amen, and just sing, you know, unto the Lord and glorify him and read and just study in the beautiful fresh air. Amen, amen. We have just a few more minutes. We have one more caller that has pressed one. If you can be brief and before we go into prayer, amen. And the prayer request will be for all fathers. We're going to lift up our fathers and, you know, those that have mothers or guardians. We're going to lift up our mothers and fathers tonight. And also this prayer request will be for fathers and mothers. Amen. And I'll go ahead and open the line for 631-552. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath. Sister Cola, happy Sabbath to each and everyone on Advent Light Prayer Line. Truly a blessing to be on the line. I want to thank God for his goodness towards me, taking me safely once more through another week, blessing me with all of heaven's blessing that he has bestowed on me. I truly appreciate that, and most of all, his protective care and his provision for my life. I want to share this song. I think it's not a long song, but it's a song that has been meditated, because what I try to do every week, to have a song that I meditate on at work, traveling on the train to work and from work. And this is my song of the week that I've been meditating on. It says, I want Jesus to walk with me. So I'll try to sing that song. I want Jesus to walk with me, walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me, walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, I want Jesus to walk with me, walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me, walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me, walk with me. When the shades of life are falling, I want Jesus to walk with me, walk with me. In my sorrows, Lord, walk with me, walk with me. In my sorrows, Lord, walk with me, walk with me. When my heart within is aching, I want Jesus, walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me, walk with me. Amen. Thank you, Sister Cola, for opening up my mind.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for coming on and sharing that song. I want Jesus to walk with me. What a beautiful song. And that should be our song, our prayer, that Jesus will walk with us and direct us. Amen. As First Kings chapter 3 and verse 14 reads, "And if thou will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." So if we walk with the Lord and trust in him, he will lengthen our days. Amen? And that's not the only reason we want to walk with the Lord, so that we can learn, so that we can grow, so that we can take on his character. Amen. So again, thank you, Brother O'Neill, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on and joining us this evening as we are going into prayer. Amen. So we will take the posture of prayer, and I will see if there's someone that would like to offer a prayer, please press 1. If you would like to offer a prayer, if someone has God put upon their heart to offer a word of prayer, press 1, please, so I can open your line. And if not, I will see if Elder Richardson or his wife can give us the word of prayer before I go ahead and open the line for Brother Wilson. Amen. Amen. Your line is open, Elder. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother. I believe this is Brother Eugene. Amen. Your line is open. Yes.
Yeah, let us pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, I would like to say good evening and happy Sabbath. Thank you again, Lord, for the wonderful testimonies that you have illustrated in the lives of the men and women on the prayer line. Thank you, Father, for truly you have allowed your son Jesus to walk with us. And he's the only one that understands our story, where we came from, where we are, and where we will be going by his Spirit. And on the Sabbath day, in these solemn sacred hours, allow us to have fresh revelations from the Word, from nature, and more importantly, from our communion with you. Please be with us, Lord, especially with the speaker. In Jesus' outstanding name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Eugene, for that prayer. Amen. Brother Wilson, can you please press 1 so that I can open your line? Go ahead and press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. Praise the Lord. 860-655, your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. Praise be the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm just going to say a quick prayer before I speak. Thank you, Brother Eugene. Heavenly Father, bless me now as I speak your word of life. And I pray that you remove self, and I pray for Christ to be lifted up. Bless and heal and guide every soul on this line. And be with your people in these last days. We love you and we thank you. Prepare our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. This is just a brief talk about Jesus being in the midst. And in these last days, Jesus has to be in the midst of our lives, of our hearts. You know, he has to be first, in the middle, everywhere. Last, he's the beginning and the end. And we want to make sure we're consecrated to the Lord in these last days of our history. And I want to begin with the book of Psalms. And it says in Psalms chapter 46, And I'll just read verse 1 and 2, and also, well, I'll read from verse 1 to 5, just keep it brief. It says, God is our refuge and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And that's our key word we want to focus on in this brief talk, being in the midst. And it says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And here it goes in verse 5. It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Praise be the Lord. And we see that when it talks about God shall help her, we see in the Bible that her is representative of his church, his people, his faithful people in these last days, and those who love him and keep his commandments. And what it says in verse 2, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and when you look in the Strong Concordance, number 3820, the Hebrew word is led or laid, and it means it's different, several meanings. One definition is inner man, mind, will, and heart. And this particular translation, in the midst of the sea, is also the heart, in the heart of the sea. And God is in the midst of her. Where does Jesus want us? He wants to be in our hearts. And that's where he wants to dwell. And that's actually what he wants to transform, is our heart. And we're going to take a look at John chapter 19. And we're going to read, just briefly, verse 19. Verse 12 to 19 in John chapter 19, and it says, and this is dealing with right before Jesus was crucified. And it says, and from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. With whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And actually the translation for Gabbatha is that it is elevated. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto him, unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Verse 17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull. And see, it says, bearing his cross. And we know that we to bear our cross as well, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and here we go, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And in the Greek for midst, we see in the Hebrew, it meant inner man, mind, will, heart. And we know mind and heart in the Bible is interchangeable. But in the Greek for mix, in the Strong Concordance, number 33319, the Greek word is meson. And it is, the translation is middle, between, or in the midst of. All right, we're going to just take another look. Very similar to John 19, Luke chapter 23. And we're going to just take another look and give us a little bit, another description of Jesus in the midst. And we want to find out what this being in the midst, what the significance of Jesus being in the midst is. So Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read from, we're going to read verse 33, 39 through 40. And it says in verse 33, And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, and the translation for Calvary, the place of the skull, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Malefactor is also talking about those persons who commit a crime or any kind of wrongdoing, which deserving of death. And it says in verse 34, actually, let me skip to 39. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself in us. But the other, this is the key one, key factor, verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked him, talking about the other malefactor, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And it's interesting where we see these two individuals, one on one side and the other on the other side, and Jesus right in the midst. We have one who was making fun of Christ and tempting him and challenging him, and the other one saw his need and asked the question, does not thou fear God? And we see that same lingo, fear God. And this is found in Revelation 7. And we find out in our three angels' message, the special message, the three angels' message in the last days of Earth's history. And we see that in Revelation 14, in verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God. And this is the same thing the malefactors are recognizing. Fear God and give glory to him. So we see that one of the malefactors recognized God's glory. He recognized the character of Jesus, like Sister Carla mentioned about the character. And it says in verse 41 of Luke 23, the same one of the thieves, one of the malefactors, he says, we indeed justly. So he recognized that he was a sinner, and we indeed justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man have done nothing amiss. So he recognized the perfect, spotless, blameless character of Jesus. And Jesus being in the midst was very significant. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So he recognized also the kingship of Jesus Christ, that he was the true Messiah. And Jesus said unto him, this is a beautiful promise, just like we read in Psalm 46, the promise, where Jesus, your God, will be in the midst of her, of his people. In verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. So we see the reward of the righteous is heaven. And one of the malefactors, in faith, looked down the road, looked at Jesus right in the midst. He saw the one who can save us from our sinful nature. And this was very powerful and something very significant, that even the thief recognized his wretchedness and he recognized the purity of Christ Jesus. And this is what we should be really thinking of. And this is why the sanctuary message is so important. This is why we should be doing some serious heart searching each and every day, especially in the morning time, afternoon, evening time, heart searching, making that choice. Lord, what have I done? What kind of sins have I committed? Please cleanse me from my wicked ways. We're going to read Desire of Ages. Talk just briefly about it. I'm just going to read one paragraph from Desire of Ages. And this is found in the chapter Calvary. And this is on page 751, paragraph 4. And it says, the thieves crucified with Jesus, either side, one, and Jesus where? In the midst. This was done by the direction of the priests and rulers. So we see even God's people, or professed people, subjected Jesus to the cross. But we know Genesis 3:15, it was already planned. It was already prepared. God already carved away, and this was something that he volunteered to do. But we see even our church folks, maybe be our very brothers and sisters, may turn to sin, may actually turn completely the other way. But we want to make sure that our eyes are fixed on Jesus. So it says Christ's position between the thieves was to indicate that he was the greatest criminal of the three. So this is what they did intentionally, to put Christ out there as a matter of fact, but he was pure, which we already know. And we know he took on the sin of the world, all the sins. And it says, thus was so he was numbered with the transgressors, from Isaiah chapter 63, verse 12. But the full meaning of their act, the priest did not see. As Jesus crucified with the thieves was placed in the midst, so his cross was placed in the midst of a world lying in sin. Very significant. And the words of pardon spoken to the penitent, thief kindled a light that will shine to the earth's remotest bounds. Powerful. So we see this man's act, that one man's act on the cross, one of the malefactors, gave his life to Christ at that very moment. And it says once again, I'm going to read again in verse 8, and the words of pardon. And Jesus said in verse 43 of Luke 23, well, he says, verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So this promise, pardon him, and this is what the Desire of Ages says. This kindles a light. And we see that word light. It's very important as well. Jesus is the light of the world. He kindled a light that will shine to the earth's remotest bounds. So we see that the Bible, this will be preserved throughout history, throughout endless ages, future ages. And here in the last days, we have the light. We have the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. And that light that was kindled in the man, one of the malefactors, and we see that same light is the same light that Christ wants us to have in these last days. And we see that in Revelation 18 for God's people, God's remnant people, the 144,000. And we see in Revelation 18, verse 1, and I know a lot of us know this, but, you know, we don't want to assume that we know it all, because that's, you don't want to have that little distinct spirit. Iron sharpens iron. And Revelation 18 says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. So that same light that was kindled in one of the malefactors is that same light that we are supposed to possess in these last days. And we are going to carry forth that angel's message, those three angels' message. In Revelation 18, we see that being the fourth angel's message, to give power to the second angel's message. And that same light that Jesus gives, being in the midst, just like Matthew 5, when Jesus was on the mount presenting his sermon, talking to the people. And we see that in verse 16 of Matthew 5, actually verse 14, we see where Jesus says to his people, ye are the light of the world. So the thief on the cross, the light of Christ is kindled in his heart. And that same promise that Jesus promised in the beginning, even early in his ministry, what he promised, that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 16 says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise be the Lord. Just have a couple verses before I close. We'll read Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And I'm just going to talk briefly of the account of Jesus once again, showing his miraculous powers. And it says, this is from Luke chapter 4, and this is verse 33 through 36. And in the synagogue, This is where we find that demoniac, that person possessed by a demon. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried with a loud voice. And we see the counterfeit, a loud voice. We're supposed to cry with a loud voice. Rebuke, we're supposed to call out sin by its rightful name. But we see here this unclean spirit crying with a loud voice, the counterfeit, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. So even the demon can recognize Christ, the light of the world. And it says in verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. So we see here that same phrase, in the midst. And when the devil has thrown him in the midst, this is where Jesus performed that miracle. The devil came out of him and hurt him not. So Jesus is a beautiful, he's an amazing God. And as a result, all of them were amazed. All the people that were watching, they were amazed and think among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirit, and they came out. So we see that being in the presence of Jesus, it brings peace, it brings healing, and we see also that people were praising God as a result of Jesus being in a crowd. Jesus, he rebuked the evil spirit, and Jesus said that we will have the same ability to do the same thing in these last days, and he says, greater work will you do in my name. God is awesome. Desire of Ages, this is a beautiful book, and I'm going to just read verse page 255 and paragraph 4. 255. I know I don't have a lot of time, but I'm Desire of Ages, 255, paragraph 4. Let me know if there's a caller when my time is pretty much up. This Bible is sweet. 255. Paragraph 4. All right, and it says, paragraph 4. All right, I'm trying to find it in the mind. Okay, here it goes. I'm sorry for the delay. It says in paragraph 4, page 255, the mind of this wretched sufferer. This is talking about the demoniac that we just read about. It says, the mind of this wretched sufferer had been darkened by Satan, a ray of light. You see that word again, light. A ray of light had pierced the gloom. He was aroused to long for freedom from Satan's control. But the demon resisted the power of Christ. When the man tried to appeal to Jesus for help, the evil spirit put words into his mouth, and he cried out in an agony of fear. The demoniac partially comprehended that he was in the presence of one who could set him free. But when he tried to come within reach of that mighty hand, another's will held him. Another's words found utterance through him. The conflict between the power of Satan and his own desire for freedom was terrible. So we see the struggle, the lust of the flesh, the Holy Spirit. We see the struggle. But praise be the Lord that Jesus once again was in the midst. And he rescued that guy from the powers of Satan. And we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So I just praise the Lord for his grace and his mercy. And I want Jesus to be in the midst of my life. I want Jesus to be in the midst of each and every one of our lives. And there's so much more I can talk about tonight. But I'm going to probably just end there, if that's okay. I don't know if I have more time or what. But Sister Carla, do I have any more time? Or should I just
end there? Yes, sir. I tried to text you. You have until at least 8:45, 9 o'clock, Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Amen. And it's 8:28. Yes, it's about 8:30 now. Amen.
Okay. So I talk about just a couple more things and just leave it there. Because I don't want to overdo it. All right. So we're going to go through the account in Luke chapter 23. This is another powerful event which occurred in the Bible. And we want to see once again about being in the midst. All right, so this is Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read from verse 33. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 23, verse 44 to 47. So Luke 23 and verse 44 to 47. All right, and it says in verse 44, it says, and it was about the sixth hour. So this is when Jesus was actually crucified. He was on the cross. And this is an event, a memorable event that most of us know. So it says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent. Where? In the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Praise be the Lord. And in comparison with that, we see Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 51. I love going to and fro the Bible. It's a beautiful method of Bible study. So Matthew 27, verse 51, it's talking about the same account, actually. Matthew 27, verse 51 says, and it says in verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rock rent. So you see, even the centurion, just like the malefactor, when Jesus was in the midst, the centurion, when he recognized Jesus Christ, when he recognized the character of Christ on the cross, when he saw all these things going on, when the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple rent in the midst, this centurion, he glorified God, and he admitted and confess that certainly this was a righteous man. I'm going to read something once again from the book of Desire of Ages, page 756, paragraph 5, and also 757, paragraph 1. All right, so it says, when the loud cry, "It is finished," came from the lips of Christ, the priests were officiating in the temple. It was the hour of the evening sacrifice. The lamb, representing who? Christ, had been brought to be slain. Clothed in his significant and beautiful dress, the priest stood with lifted knife, as did Abraham when he was about to slay his son. With intense interest, the people were looking on, but the earth trembled and quaked, for the Lord himself draws near. And we see that same trembling and earthquake and lightning, and we see that on the Mount Sinai when Christ talks to Moses and writes on those tables the Ten Commandments. And we see right in the heart of the Decalogue was the Sabbath. And here we are worshiping together on God's holy Sabbath. I continue in the reading, and it says, with a rending noise, the inner veil of the temple is torn from top to bottom by an unseen hand. And we see that a familiar story right in the Bible in the book of Daniel. All right, well, with Belshazzar. And it says, with a rending, throwing open the gaze of the multitude, a place once filled with the presence of God. In this place, the China had dwelt, who he used to dwell there, but no longer. Here God had manifested his glory above the mercy seat. No one but the high priest ever lifted the veil, separating this apartment from the rest of the temple. He entered in once a year to make an atonement for the sins of the people. And Jesus wants to be at one with his people, just like in John 17. It says, but lo, this veil is rent in twain, right? In the midst. The most holy place where Jesus is even right now, the most holy place of the earthly sanctuary is no longer sacred. But we know there's a God in heaven that is in the most holy place in heaven. And it says, the next paragraph, all is terror and confusion. The priest is about to slay the victim, but a knife drops from his nervousless hand, and the lamb escapes. Type has met anti-type in the death of God's Son. The great sacrifice has been made. The way into the holiest is laid open. Praise be the Lord. A new and living way is prepared for all. No longer need sinful, sorrowing humanity await the coming of the high priest. Henceforth, the Savior was to officiate as priest and advocate in the heaven of heavens. It was as if a living voice had spoken to the worshipers. There is now an end to all sacrifice and offering for sins. The Son of God, we see that in Christ, is come according to his word. Lo, I come. This is a beautiful, beautiful verse. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. To do thy will, O God, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And we see that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 7, and also Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. And that's a good book to read. And actually, we see that veil, like I said, that was rent in the midst. And we see in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, we want to find out what this veil that was rent in the midst, what does that represent? The veil of the temple rent in the midst. Well, we find that. Thank God for the Bible, that the Bible explains itself. And we find that in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. We want to do line upon line. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, and it says, just like we read in the Desire of Ages, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So the veil represented the flesh, the body of Christ, that he ransomed for all mankind. He took on the sins of the world so that we can have a new and living way, that we can come straight to Christ, and he intercedes on our behalf. And as we pray, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. And he will give us power to overcome sin. He will give us power to live a life above sin. And we see that same veil in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 3. And we see in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 9, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So we see the separation from the holy, from the holy to the most holy, and that is the tabernacle of God. So Jesus, like 1 Timothy verse 2, chapter 2, verse 5, it talks about Jesus being our mediator. So Jesus being in the midst, just like in the Hebrew language, inner man, mind, will, heart. In the Greek again, the definition, middle, between. In the midst. And just like 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, and we see that Jesus Christ, he's in the midst and he stands as our mediator. And this is why the sanctuary is so beautiful. And in verse 5, listen to this, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between, that same word, between, the Greek meson, between, in the midst of. So there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And now is high time we have to truly surrender all to Christ. And I mean, today I choose to surrender my life to Christ. And I want Jesus to be in the midst, to be in front, to be all over, to take full control of my life so that Everson Wilson will not be seen, but Christ will be seen. I want to die to self. I want to die to self every day, but especially on his Sabbath, I want Christ to be seen. And I want Christ to be lifted up. May God help us. May he bless us. And may he give us peace and comfort throughout the rest of this Sabbath. No matter what we're going through, we have to remember that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus is always in the midst. And thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you for your holiness. Continue to bless us. Continue to strengthen us as we go out from day to day, especially on the Sabbath. We want to be used to your glory. We want to do the work of an aggressive evangelism, each and every one of us. We want to be co-laborers with you. So bless us and keep us and guide our family members, our neighbors, our friends, and help us not to be ashamed, but to go out, to go forth and tell the world that Jesus is coming, is imminent, and that we need to be ready because Jesus is coming. No matter what people think, no matter what people say, their handwriting is on the wall, and we need to get our hearts ready. Like the thief on the cross, he chose to follow Christ. Right then and there, right before his death, he gave his life to Christ. You don't want to wait till a serious situation happens for us to make that decision. So I pray by your grace that we can all make the decision even tonight to surrender our hearts to you. We love you. We thank you. Bless our children. Bless the youth. Please pour your spirit upon the youth who are under attack. Bless them all in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wilson, for bringing us the word this evening. May the Lord continue to bless you and each and every brothers and sisters on the prayer line. And I just want to leave 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, as he is in the midst of us. Amen. Again, happy Sabbath and have a blessed night. Jesus loves you. Thank you.